In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for today is St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that section from chapter 4, which I've already read. Jesus Christ himself honored St. John the Baptizer, saying of him, "Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." John was a fearless prophet whose coming was foretold by the prophets of old. That's what our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 40, in fact, was about this morning. Yet to belong to the kingdom of heaven is a greater honor than any prophet would hold. The little children who are members of the kingdom of heaven have wealth beyond the greatest imagination of man. The treasure of the heaven of the kingdom of heaven are the very mysteries of God, as St. Paul says in our epistle reading for today. To know the mysteries of God is to know God himself. These mysteries are not for those who are wise according to the standards of this world. Speaking of the treasures of heaven, of the heavenly kingdom, Jesus prayed to God, his Father in heaven, saying this, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." What impresses the great crowds is not necessarily what impresses God. God's standards are different from the standards of this world. His standards are different than our standards. In fact, God upends the standards of this world because he is not seeking to be a pleaser of man. In fact, St. Paul writes this, "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Human beings judged by the standards of men, and yet God himself holds a separate standard. If you judge by human standards, you will also judge those who preach God's word by those same human standards. John the Baptizer preached Christ. He identified Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He said of Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." He said, "He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry." St. John's entire ministry was devoted to drawing attention away from himself and pointing others to Christ. And yet still many of his disciples did not want to leave John to follow Jesus. They were more attached to John the preacher then they were attached to the preaching that John himself preached. This is why John sent his disciples in our gospel reading today to Jesus. They had to see and hear for themselves that Jesus was the sum and substance, not only of John's preaching, but of all the preaching of the prophets before him. And this is the way that it must be even for Christian preachers today. As St. Paul wrote, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." Preachers are earthen vessels, and we have clay feet. Christians should not follow after this preacher or that preacher on account of the personality of that preacher. As St. Paul writes in our text for today, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. A minister of Christ does not serve by his own authority, but he serves by the authority of Christ. The minister of Christ is a steward of God's mysteries, not a promoter of his own personal philosophy. The mysteries of Christ, which the minister is supposed to bring out for the people of God, are those things that have been hidden from the wise of this world and yet revealed to little children. The mysteries come from God. They don't come from the steward. A steward is simply a manager of what belongs to another. The mysteries of God belong to God, and God has given them to the church. They are not the private property of the stewards of these mysteries. The mysteries of God do not require a degree of human wisdom and cleverness to grasp. They are grasped by faith alone. The mysteries of God are all centered in Jesus Christ. Included in those mysteries is the incarnation of Jesus, which we are about to celebrate in a week's time. St. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 3, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Christ was manifested in the flesh." Another mystery is the mystery of the resurrection of the dead. As St. Paul writes later in the same letter to the Corinthians, he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." Another mystery of our Christian faith is the relationship between our Lord Jesus Christ and the church. St. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." The mystery of mysteries is the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, as we confessed in the Creed just moments ago. This is the greatest mystery of them all. This is the essence, the soul, the very center of all divine truth. Apart from the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are blind to all spiritual reality. Because in the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, our sins are forgiven, we are reconciled back to God, and we are made righteous in God's sight. But it is precisely this central mystery of our salvation that the world and all those who are around us count as foolishness. That God himself would stoop down to us to bear the burden of sinners. Those who are dying without hope despise the wisdom of God. They despise the suffering of Jesus. And that is why they are dying without hope. And this is why Jesus in our gospel reading for today says, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." In that context, he was speaking specifically of his suffering. Don't be offended by God when he condescends to suffer for you. Don't look at the bloody sacrifice of Christ as an offense. Of course, it offends the pride of the world, but that pride leads to destruction. Yes, it offends those who trust in their own virtue, but that trust will only disappoint. The high and mighty of this world are offended by the cross, but we who have found the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, and the blood that he shed for us at his cross have found the wisdom that has been hidden from the sight of the world. This is the greatest of all the mysteries of God. St. Paul writes earlier in 1 Corinthians, "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." The things that God has prepared for us were prepared by our Lord Jesus Christ for us while he was on the cross. It was there that Jesus removed the guilt of our sins. He undid the curse of those sins, and he undid the death that we deserved for our sins. St. John the Baptizer pointed at Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is as that Lamb of God that Jesus opens our hearts and our minds to receive the mysteries of God. As the Lamb of God who takes away our sin, he brings us into communion with God the Father himself, that great mystery we heard from Ephesians chapter 5 earlier. It is not in our works. It is not in our merits. It is not in our humanly devised schemes that we could gain, or any of the things that we might do that we might count as good. It is not in the exercise of our mind or our wills, of our moral capabilities. But instead, it is found in Jesus. It is found in Jesus, the one who takes away the sins of the world. God in Christ has mercy on us lost and condemned sinners. He finds us, he delivers us, and he rescues us from our sins. This is why the preaching of the cross is the glory of the Christian. It is for us the everlasting wisdom of God himself. And this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is what preachers like St. John the Baptist and every pastor that has stood in this pulpit is called to preach today. This is what it means to be a steward of God's mysteries. It means to preach the pure gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and to administer his sacraments according to the commands and promises of God himself. These mysteries reveal to us the very heart of our gracious God in Christ Jesus, who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The gospel and the sacraments come to us from none other than the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very wisdom of God in the flesh. We don't need smooth-talking preachers in the church. We don't need pastors that can please the crowds. What we as Christian people need are the very mysteries of God themselves. We need these things because in them, in his word, and in his sacraments, God is hidden there in plain sight for us to rescue us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. In the end, the steward, whether it's the great John the Baptizer or the pastor who stands before you today, that steward, in the end, is a nobody. The minister of Christ has nothing of his own to administer. But like the waiter or the waitress at a local restaurant, he is only there to serve what has been given to him. The pastor is always a minister of Christ, and since Jesus doesn't lord it over his flock, neither should the pastor. He is only the steward, the manager of the mysteries of God. He doesn't own them, and you don't need to know your pastor's opinion about anything, especially from the pulpit. But what you do need is to be enriched by the mysteries that belong to Jesus. And this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is why you need a pastor. You don't need any particular pastor. You don't need me or anybody else. But you do need a man to stand in this place to reveal to you the mysteries of God. And you need someone to stand in this place who will faithfully give them to you. You need the gospel and the sacraments of Christ. And this is why Jesus instituted the pastoral office for us today. And so we ought not judge our preachers by human standards. This doesn't mean that we are above criticism, however, far from it. Pastors like me and other men who have stood in this place are to be bound to teach the Word of God in its truth and purity, as it has been faithfully set forth in the Catechism and the creeds and the confessions of the Church. We ought to insist that our pastors hold to these things, that they truly serve as the stewards of God and not those who would give their own opinion from the pulpit, as the Pope in Rome. And so the more that we care about the saving mysteries of God, the less we will care about human standards, human judgment, and human wisdom. We should neither put our pastors and preachers up on pedestals, but neither should we subject them to unfair criticism because they lack this or that skill or any particular charisma or witticism. We honor faithful stewards not for the sake of their persons, but for the sake of the mysteries of God that they administer for our good. And so if we want to encourage the ministers of Christ, we can do nothing better than to urge them to be faithful in their stewardship of the mysteries of God. And in this way, the ministers of Christ will also be serving those to whom the mysteries of salvation belong, to the very bride of Christ, that is, the Holy Christian Church, that is you, dear brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.